Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Well, what do we mean by that, raise your vibration? Well, in each and every single moment of each and every single day, we have a choice to focus our thoughts, actions, intentions, expectations in either a positive way or sometimes a not so positive way. And here on the Vibration Station, we have dedicated ourselves to the sole purpose of raising the vibration of the consciousness of all beings here on planet Earth. Now, when I say that, it sounds a little silly, raising the consciousness of all beings here on planet Earth. What I mean is, as each individual chooses to deliberately focus in a way that serves their joy, we collectively start to raise the vibration of the entire planet. As Michael Jackson says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Well, what he meant by that is, to change the world, you need to change yourself first. And as we know, we do live in a world where there is a lot of hectic energy. A lot of people are on edge. A lot of deception is occurring in our mainstream media, in our politics, when it comes to weather patterns. I mean, it just everything is hectic, it seems like, to an extent, right? But what we don't always understand is everything that we experience is a direct reflection of our consciousness. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about how to focus our energy in a way that serves not only ourselves, but everyone else around us. Today's show is dedicated to assisting you in learning, teaching, and absorbing different ways to express yourself in a positive way while simultaneously living in a hectic world. Now think about that. Expressing yourself in a positive way while simultaneously living in a hectic world. That sounds near impossible. It sounds almost unrealistic if you think about it. Because how, as an individual, are we capable of staying happy, staying joyous, staying in alignment when the rest of the world is filled with hectic energy, is filled with stress and unrealistic expectations? It just goes on and on and on. So today's show, we're going to dive in to different ways, different approaches, different thought patterns that we can invite into our lives, that we can invite into the way that we approach this human experience to maximize our joy. So the title of today's show is Maximizing Your Joy by Deliberately Focusing Your Thoughts. Maximizing your joy by deliberately focusing your thoughts. Now, if you've listened to the Vibration Station for a while, you know that we've talked about these topics many, many times before. Law of Attraction, you get what you give. As above, so below. Newton's law, right? Newton's law says every action has an equal and opposite action and reaction. So that means every action, thought, expectation that you make or place upon yourself or others will have a direct reflection in your reality. Well, today we're going to be talking about how to turn something that is quote-unquote negative and spin it in a positive way to where it actually assists your joy, to where it actually assists your alignment, right? And when I say alignment, all alignment means is that you are in a greater and a closer proximity to the wholeness of who you are. And then you say, what does that mean, the wholeness of who I am? I'm whole. I am whole as I am. I look in the mirror, I see two arms, two eyes, a nose, two legs. I am a whole person. Right. Well, wholeness goes much deeper than just the physical appearance. Wholeness is a state of consciousness. So when we deliberately choose to feel happy, to feel excited about life, to feel the joy of life, we are actually allowing for a greater and wholer version of ourselves to flow to us and through us. Think about energy. Think about the fluctuation of a wave of frequency. Think of how one frequency, think of a sound wave and how it fluctuates. Think of the waves in the ocean, how they fluctuate. They come up, they crash down. They come up, they crash down. Well, consciousness, energy, thought patterns, vibration, they all work in the exact same way. The only difference is you can't necessarily see them. You can see a sound wave when it's measured through, you know, a MIDI system, through a system that actually does measure, sound frequency. It picks up on music or sounds or frequencies. You can also see, actually see sound through this technique called somatics. Somatics is seeing vibration through sound. So a display of somatics would be if you take small grains of salt, or if you take sand and you put it on just a solid metal plate, and then if you tune that plate to actually vibrate to certain frequencies, you'll see that the particles of salt or sand will shape themselves into different geometrical shapes, into different forms, into different formations, different shapes, different figures, all depending on the pitch of that frequency. Now, thoughts work in the same way. So let's loop back around to the intention of today's show, right? How to embody joy, even when life seems to be kind of difficult. I'm going to use an example here. Each and every single day, whether you do have your own car and you drive, or whether you take public transportation, you probably sit in traffic, or you probably transport yourself from point A to point B with other cars being around you. Well, whether the cars are stopped or not, whether you're going 60 miles an hour, you're still sitting in traffic. Now, let's say someone cuts you off. And I always use this example because it's a perfect example of how to turn a negative situation into a positive. And this example can be applied all throughout life. So someone cuts you off, what are you going to do? Well, your immediate reaction is you want to get back to the person. Your immediate reaction is you want to show them that what they did was wrong. So usually, well, someone flips them the bird. You flip them the middle finger. You say, hey, F you, man, for cutting me off. Doing whatever you did to piss me off, right? Well, instead of flipping them the bird, what if you thought for a moment, maybe this person is having a really terrible day. Maybe they're not 100% focused on the road because they just received some really detrimental news. Or hey, maybe they're having a great day and they're just not focusing properly. But you know what? By me flipping them off, or by me telling them to go screw themselves or F themselves, that actually lowers the vibration of not only the person that you're sharing that negative message to, but also lowers the vibration of your consciousness. So instead of flipping that person off, what do you think would happen if you put your hands together and threw a little heart out the window, right? I've done that before. I have pissed people off before. People have pissed me off before. They've thrown me the bird. And what I'll do is I'll throw out a heart signal, right? Just real quick. Obviously, you want to keep your hands on the steering wheel, eyes on the road. But I just put my hands together, make a little heart. Or what I'll do is I'll wave. And like you just do a wave, a nice wave, not like a violent, like rah, like a big wave. Just do like a nice wave just to let them know, I see what you did and it's okay. Just be aware next time. So that's perfect example of taking a potentially dangerous situation, especially if, you know, the person in that car is not necessarily sound of mind. You've heard of a lot of experiences of people, you know, flipping someone off, and that person will obviously will all of a sudden be following them, and then they'll tail them, and then they'll bump their cars, or they'll get in an accident. Something. You just also never know who you're communicating with while you're on the road. You know, that's another thing. And in life in general, you never know who you're communicating with in life. I mean, obviously, family members, friends, stuff like that, you have a closer relationship with. But even that guy in your office that you don't necessarily know very well, if he does something to piss you off, instead of making an act of rebuttal, be the better person. And instead of making an act of rebuttal by saying you did something wrong or you deserve to be given the middle finger, maybe ask them how their day is going, if you have the opportunity. Someone in your office does something to piss you off. Obviously, there's something going on with them to where they're being triggered. They're not in necessarily a happy state of mind if they're doing something to piss others off deliberately. So you be the bigger person and just say, hey, is everything all right with you, man? Noticed, maybe you don't say this, or maybe you do. Noticed, you know, you maybe weren't in the best mood. Is there something I can do to help? Do you know how far that goes when you extend a helping hand, when you extend gratitude upon someone that is not in a good state of mind? It's phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal. And not only do you raise your vibration by deliberately choosing not to, you know, curse the person or put them down for doing something that pissed you off, but you also give this person faith in humanity. That's a big, big theme that runs to and through the ideas of turning a negative situation into something positive. Now, let's take an example that's a little bit more serious, right? Now, let's say someone gets sick. I've had this happen in my life before, and I had to readjust my vibration. I had to readjust my frequency just so I maintained my peace of mind. So when I found out in 2014 that my father was sick, was diagnosed with a type of cancer that, you know, the doctors said was essentially irreversible, I absolutely broke down. I started feeling like a victim. I started feeling like I was losing my grasp on life. I started feeling like I was losing my desire to be motivated and successful, because here I am as a young man, and I have always looked up to my father, and then all of a sudden one day he's sick with cancer. It threw me for a spin. And for a long time, I felt like I was a victim. I was self-destructing. I was doing things that were harmful to my well-being. I was not being the best person that I could be for not only myself, but everyone else around me. And as I continued to play the role and accept the role of the victim, it's like more things kept manifesting in my life, which turned out to be really, really shitty. And I kept asking myself, why are all these bad things happening? why are all these negative experiences manifesting in my life? I feel like I deserve some positivity, especially after everything that's just been thrown on my plate. Well, it wasn't until one day that I was listening to some Abraham Hicks. If you guys are looking for a source of really beautiful and inspiring and enlightening information, make out Abraham Hicks, A-B-R-A-H-A-M, first name, last name, H-I-C-K-S. It is not religious in any way, shape, or form. It is not related to the Abraham mentioned in the Bible, anything like that. Not related at all. This information simply has to do with understanding the laws of vibration, understanding the laws of the universe, and understanding that your thoughts are magnetic. What you think is what you get. So when something bad happens in your life and you immediately go to the lower vibrational states and you immediately go to fear, you immediately go to regret, you immediately go to despair, you immediately go to revenge. That's a big one too, revenge. You're only attracting more of that into your experience. As opposed to if you deliberately chose to recalibrate your thoughts and say, you know what, this happened for a reason. I understand this hurts. I understand this is painful, but this happened for a reason. And I can either focus on being the victim in this really terrible situation or circumstance, or I can change my thought patterns. I can empower myself, and I can say to myself, this experience is the greatest blessing that ever happened because through this experience, I will come out stronger than I ever have been before. And if you think about it, strength is empowerment. Empowerment is being able to believe in yourself. Empowerment is being able to know that you have the power through your power of focus, that you have the power through your ability to choose your thoughts. You have the power to manifest the life that you wish to live. Now, yes, it may take some time to get there. Granted, it is a very difficult thing to completely shift your thought patterns from an extremely terrible and sad and hurtful and painful experience and say, oh, everything's good. Happy, happy, joy. Let's just focus on being positive. It's just not realistic, right? But in this situation, what is realistic is knowing that by you focusing on the positive aspects of a human experience, you will then start to manifest a snowball effect of other positive experiences. Right. So back to this example with my father, when I found out he got sick in 2014, for about 2 years, I was really, really down on myself. You know, of course, when I would host the radio shows, I would get so excited. I would get inspired. I would get on top of life. You know, when I would do things that brought me joy, when I would act upon my passions, when I would act upon my highest excitements, for example, hosting radio shows and being on the radio and doing things that bring me joy and meditating and doing yoga and exercising and, you know, just doing the things that brought me joy during that time in my life, I then started to see, like I had said, this snowball effect into more positive things manifesting. So, for example, let's say I had a really terrible week. Let's say that something else, you know, got some other news that happened with Dad that really brought me down. Well, on Sunday, I got to go and host my radio show. I get so excited. Do you know how many Sundays I have manifested super amazing opportunities and experiences just because I've gotten out of my head and into my joy? That's the importance of acting upon your joy. That is the fundamental principle importance of acting upon your joy, is when you know that regardless of the painful experiences that are occurring in your life, regardless of the circumstances that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, you have the choice. You have the power to do what brings you joy. And then you say, well, Dave, I work 5 days a week, minimum of 8 hours a day. Sometimes I work 12 hours a day. How could I have joy in my life when I'm tired, I'm hungry, by the time I get home, I'm exhausted? How is that something that I can even fit in? How is that a lifestyle where I can even fit in things that bring me joy? Well, maybe take an extra break at work. Maybe go outside at work. Look at the sun, or look towards the sun. Don't obviously stare into the sun. We wouldn't want to do that. But look up towards the sun. Look at the clouds. Feel the wind upon your face. Feel the breeze just brushing up against your cheeks. Maybe go into the bathroom. Splash some water on your face. Look at yourself in the mirror. Say some affirmations. If you have a mirror in your bathroom at work, say some affirmations. Oh my gosh, I self-affirm myself like every single day. I self-affirm every day. And even when I am at work for 10 hours, I'll go into the bathroom, make sure no one's in there so they don't think I'm talking to myself and I sound like a cuckoo. But I'll go into the bathroom and I will start self-affirming. I'll say, you are beautiful. You are angelic. You are the embodiment of heaven on earth. You are love. You are light. You are compassion. You are abundant. You are unconditionally prosperous. You are a money magnet. You are a magnet to everything beautiful, bright, heavenly, joyous, exciting, inspiring, enlightening. And I just say these things to myself over and over and over and over again. And then if a thought enters that is negative, I accept it. I breathe it in and I breathe it out. That's another thing, is when you learn to control your breath, you can learn to control your thoughts. Believe it or not, the breath and the mind are connected so substantially. They're so profoundly connected, the breath and the mind. If you notice, as you breathe, your thoughts change. If you take a breath and you think about something, and you exhale that breath, you're going to feel different about whatever it is that you were just thinking about. If you, and you'll notice this too, if you do breath work. So breath work is consciously breathing in and out, right? In through the nose, out through the mouth. Or you could do, there's this technique called the breath of fire, where you breathe through your nose, like rapidly. You're like, excuse the breathing over the microphone, I know that's unpleasant, but if you do this breath of fire, the rapid breathing techniques, your thoughts are constantly shifting, shift, 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 shift. There's always a new thought that's entering your mind that's in relationship to your breathing. So a negative thought pops in your mind, take a deep breath, hold on to that breath, and let it go. Another negative thought pops into your mind, take another deep breath. Hold on to that breath and let it go. When you try to force negative thoughts out of your mind, it doesn't work. Because by putting in the effort to force them out, you're actually putting more energy into allowing them to stay. It's like when you want something to leave, if all you're doing is focusing on getting it to go, you're never going to focus on letting in what comes next. Does that make sense? By the way, feel free to email me anytime. You have any questions, comments, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Once again, that's davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. You can email me with questions. I love the listeners' emails. Thank you so much, guys, for always sending amazing emails, amazing questions, amazing thoughts. You guys, you are some smart people out there, man. I tell you, I get the most interesting and fascinating emails, going in depth with so many profound concepts about this human experience and about life. And it's really beautiful. And I honor each and every single one of you. It really is an amazing thing. So thank you guys for doing that. You're always welcome to email me, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. So what I really want to share with you guys today, this concept, The importance of learning when to let go of something that is causing you frustration. There's always going to be experiences in life that cause you frustration. There's always going to be a circumstance that causes anger or triggers you in a way that gets you upset at someone or something or a circumstance. It's not so much, at least in my experience, and this is something that I'm learning and that I've learned in the past and that I will continue to learn throughout my entire life. It's not so much about how often something happens that triggers you. More so is it is how long are you going to hold on to that thing that's triggering you before you let it go and then you get back to feeling happy. That's the thing. There's always going to be triggers in life. Whether it's something having to do with politics, whether it's something having to do with, like I said, the weather, whether it's something having to do with something that's going on in a relationship, whether it's something having to do with a circumstance at your job. Regardless, there's always going to be something to argue about. There's always going to be something to start a disagreement about. It's not so much about how many disagreements there are or how many circumstances are in your life that piss you off. What it does revolve around, though, is how much time are you going to let that hold you down for? How long are you going to hold on to this feeling of density, this feeling of, ugh, I'm so over this. I'm so frustrated at this person, or I'm so annoyed at this circumstance. How long are you going to hold on to it for? 30 seconds? That's awesome. If you could do that, hold on to it for 30 seconds, let it go, man, you are mastering life. That's mastery, right? Well, mastery, true mastery, is learning not to let it get at you at all. But of course, we need to understand realistically, you know, things are going to get to us. Things are going to get to us. Are you going to let that circumstance hold you down for a week? Are you going to let that circumstance hold you down for a day? An entire day? You're going to let that frustrate you? You're going to be upset at someone? You're going to be triggered at, you know, at your work? You're going to be flopping around, like, you know, emotionally throwing your hands up in the air, not actually throwing your, but just like, ugh, you're going to be grumpy to people? You're going to hold on to it for 5 years, 10 years? You're going to hold on to it for 40 years? You're going to hold on to it for a lifetime? You'd be surprised how many people do. You'd be surprised how many people hold on to stuff for a lifetime. Oh, yeah, my father did this to me when I was 14 years old, and I'm still mad at him, and I'm 70 years old, I'm 60 years old, whatever it is. Are you really going to hold on to that? Because at that point, the person that you're frustrated at or the circumstance that you're frustrated at, that's long gone. Now you're just holding yourself down. You're just holding your own frequency below its surface level of joy. If you can learn to get over the things that frustrate you and the circumstances that piss you off and the experiences that bring you down, if you can learn to get over these things quickly, I mean, the quicker the better. 5 minutes, that's awesome. You don't want to be arguing with someone for an hour, let alone 5 hours, let alone a day or a week. You just don't want to do it. It's not fun. Why would you want to? What does anyone get out of that? Or if it's a situation at work, do something about it. Change it. Don't just complain about it. And that's what people are so used to doing. They're so used to just complaining. They complain about this, they complain about that, they complain about this, they don't have enough money, they want this, they want that, they want the perfect relationship, or whatever it is. You know, their boss sucks, their boss is mean, and granted, I'm not putting these people down for complaining. We all complain. What I'm saying is, how long are you going to hold on to it for before you learn to just let it go and get back to joy? If you're not feeling joy, you're doing something to, as Abraham calls it, hold the cork under the water. You know, when you hold a cork under the water, it wants to pull itself back up. If you hold a cork under the water and you let that cork go, it's gonna come to the surface. Well, the cork being on the surface is equivalent to you being in a state of joy, right? Well, when you pull that cork under the surface level of the water and you hold that cork down, those are the deeper, denser frequencies of anger, frustration, negativity, despair, whatever it is, revenge, jealousy, misunderstandings. That's all holding the cork under the surface, right? But when you let that cork go and you let it bob right back up to the surface, you're feeling good. You're feeling joy. You're feeling happy. So for today's show, if there's any takeaway, what it's got to be is that you got to know there's always going to be stuff in life that's going to piss you off. There's always going to be that person or those people. There's always going to be circumstances that frustrate you. There's always going to be an experience that you wish didn't happen or you wish turned out a different way. But if you can learn the art of letting go, you literally will live such a happier life than if you continue to hold on to it. Such a happier life. That's why the Buddha, you know, he's all about let it go. The Buddha says attachment is the root of all suffering, right? And attachment is not letting something go. So when you are literally attached to something, when you are not letting something go, that's the root to all suffering. You are participating in self-induced suffering. No one or nothing outside of you is causing you to be frustrated. Only you. Think about that. No one or nothing outside of you is causing you to be frustrated. Only you. Only you. There is no one outside of you. And what do I mean by that? You're like, Dave, you're crazy. Of course there's someone outside of me. I'm looking at him right now. He's on the freeway. Of course. Yes, there are people outside of you. But what I'm saying is there is no one outside of your ability to focus deliberately in a way that serves your joy. There is no one that could ever do something, say something, treat you in a certain way that is worth you holding on to it for longer than like 5-10 minutes. Even if it's something so crazy and so bad and so effed up and so mean, if you are still holding on to it, the only person that's being affected is you and the other people around you that you're projecting your stuff onto. But then that's up to them to say, you know what, I understand this person is projecting and I'm not going to take that on. And you see how the cycle goes? You see how it's a cycle? It's literally a snowball. One person gets triggered at something and then they take that anger out onto someone else, and then that person takes that personally, and then they take that anger out onto someone else, and then the next person they talk to takes that personally, and then they take that anger out onto someone else, and it's this endless vicious cycle of just people getting frustrated at other people or other circumstances for no reason. Just because somewhere along that chain, someone couldn't stop the negativity. Just because somewhere along that chain, someone did not choose to say, you know what, being frustrated, being angry, being upset is not worth my joy. Being mad at this person, telling this person that I understand where they're coming from, I'm sorry if I hurt their feelings, I'm sorry if I did something to them, or whatever it is. It's just, you know, If you could say to someone, I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for doing something to frustrate you. That was never my intention. If you can actually share that and convey that in a way that is honest and pure, to where you can let that other person know that you would never, ever intentionally mean to get them upset. You would never, ever intentionally mean to trigger them or get them angry. And you say, I understand where you're coming from. And you genuinely do. You say, yes, I do understand why you're triggered. I do understand where you're coming from. But let's let it go. Man, that would go so far. Imagine if everyone did that to everyone else. Imagine if, like, right when someone gets triggered, right when someone gets upset, the other person says, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Agree to disagree. I am sorry if I did anything to frustrate you. That's never my intention. Let's just squash this. And then if the other person doesn't want to squash it, then that's on them. They say, well, you're this or you're that, or you did this, you did that, and I'm not going to forgive you and blah, blah, blah. Then you know what? Then that's on them. Because all you can do is forgive yourself. And all you can do is forgive others. And if you can't, if you don't have it within your heart to forgive others so you can forgive yourself, so you can forgive others, it's literally a catch-22. You forgive yourself so you can forgive others. You forgive others so you can forgive yourself. If you don't have the capacity to do that, then maybe look at yourself in the mirror and ask, why? Why am I so persistent about being angry? Why am I so persistent about getting frustrated or upset at something, at a circumstance or someone over something that I could just forgive for? I can forgive. Now I'm not always saying forget, because, you know, forgive is one thing, forget is another, right? You don't always want to forget when someone has done harm to you. You don't always want to forget when you have a painful circumstance. No, because by forgetting it, you're implying that it never happened. And by implying that it never happened, you're implying that there's essentially no growth. Does that make sense? All right. We're going to open up the phone lines if you guys want to call in. 323-203-0815. Once again, 323-203-0815. We're going to go ahead, open up the phone lines. If you guys are just tuning in with us, we are talking about how to change a negative situation and spin it into a positive. How to bring something that is lower in frequency and raise it higher into joy. Now let's see here. I think I might have a caller on the line. We're going to take this. Hello, you are live, LA Talk Radio. You're speaking with Davey. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Well, hi, Davey. It's Dr. Michelle. How are you?
Dr. Michelle, what a pleasure and a blessing. How are you, my love?
Fine. Well, you gave me a text earlier today and you said, hey, call in because this subject might be something good for you to, kind of add to. So I'm happy do that. And I'm sorry I'm calling in late. I just...
No, it's perfect.
Back, so I didn't want exterior noise, so I'm in a good place.
No, that's perfect. Yeah. I'm so glad you called in, Doc. Thank you so much for accepting the text and accepting my offer.
Absolutely.
To come on the show.
My pleasure.
For those of you that aren't familiar, you're out of touch.
I think you're funny.
No, but you know what, guys? Make sure to check her out every Friday at 11 on LA Talk Radio. That's a Pacific Standard Time, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. You can't miss her. She is absolutely amazing. I could just go on and on and on. She is the body language expert for Entertainment Tonight. She's a media psychologist. It just goes on and on and on. And it is an honor to have you on the show, Doc. How are you doing today?
Oh, thanks, Dave. I'm great. And I really love what you're talking about, too, because it's, you know, a lot of the kind of work that I do, you know, with people's partners,
right.
Individuals,
right.
And all that.
Right.
And
right.
So if you wanted to ask me a specific question, or I could just...
I did.
You know, sort
I
of
did.
Like, sure.
Yeah, I did. I did have a specific question for you, Doc. So, I've noticed a lot, and you know, obviously, this has been happening since the dawn of time, since people have been around, right?
Yeah.
This even happens in the animal kingdom, right?
Yeah.
So, when there, obviously, as you already know, today's show is turning a negative experience into something positive, right? Turning making lemonade out of lemons, right?
Sure.
So
exactly.
my question for you, I'm going to start it off with a circumstantial example, right? And then we're going to kind of lead that in. So the circumstance here is, let's say that someone just found out that someone very dear to them was diagnosed with an illness.
Okay, right.
Now, in that type of circumstance, the person that just received this information that someone very close to them was just diagnosed with this illness usually goes into a state of depression, usually
sure.
goes into a state of almost like, depending on how close this person is to you, of course, almost like giving up on the motivation for life, because you see someone that you love and care for so much and they get sick, and then
yeah.
you see all the things that they've done for you throughout your life, and then you start to question these higher powers that be. Why did this happen to such an amazing
right.
person?
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right.
So, Doc, in your professional opinion, I'm sure that you've dealt with this exact same circumstance many times in you know, with your clients
yeah.
and maybe even personally
yeah.
in your own life.
Right.
How do you, or what would you say to someone that is in this depressed state, or in a down state, or in a frustrated state, and then they obviously project that onto others around them? So here they go. They just got some information that someone very close to them is
sure.
ill, and then they're frustrated with themselves. They're disappointed, maybe possibly in a higher power, as to not understanding why this happened to such a great person. And then they start to project that onto the people around them. Right. So it becomes
sure,
this vicious
sure.
cycle like we were talking about earlier. But
right.
they really want to feel better, but they just don't know how. They
right.
just they keep finding excuses, and they keep finding circumstances to bring them back to, you know, pulling that cork under the surface, as Abraham says.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say to that person that's looking or seeking to feel better?
That's a great question. Usually, when I, you know, work with patients who are experiencing, you know, a loved one or someone really close who's been diagnosed with something or who's really ill, you know, what I suggest that they do is think of the other individual and try not to take on the complete, you know, you're a very empathetic person. So I tell the very empathetic patients I work with, to definitely, of course, it's normal you're going to feel sad. It's normal. You can't, you know, deny it. You can't push it away.
But
what I tell them to do is think of the other individual in terms of, I know they must be having such a scary time.
Right.
So what you need to do sometimes, I think, is convey your understanding. You will never understand how they feel unless you've experienced it. But in some way convey to them, you're acknowledging that I know this must be really scary. I know you must feel alone because nobody else understands what you're going through. But I just want you to know that I am here for you.
Right.
So let them know, you know, that you love them, that you're here for them. And whatever you can do, whatever you
right.
can do, even if it's the smallest thing. It's like, you know, when our friends get really sick, the bad flu that's going around. I have a friend that's hung on to it for about 3 weeks. And I told her, can I just come over and get you chicken soup?
Right.
And just visit you and be with you and sit with you. And, you know, can I just be here for you, sweetheart? Can I buy you, you know, a box of tissues? Can I buy you some, you know, some kind of something Mucinex or something to help with anything you need?
Sure.
That's basically, and on a higher note, you know, when you're dealing with someone who has a very serious illness.
Right. That's
chemotherapy.
Right.
You know, see if you can drive them. See if you can be there. You know, I used to drive my father to chemotherapy when he had lung cancer. And he survived.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Pretty well. He did pretty well with that. He was pretty good for like 10 years. But he, you know, I used to go sit with him, and he'd sit there, and we'd just talk. We'd look out the window and sit next to each other. And he'd be hooked up to his IV and getting his chemo, and he was weak. But I would drive him. Right. And I'd always bring cookies. I'd always bring his favorite chocolate drink. And we'd sit there and eat cookies and look out the window, and we'd just relax. And sometimes we didn't even talk. We were just together. I'd hold his hand. So that was something that we can do. We don't have to take it on and, oh, my God, oh, my God. Of course we're going to feel sad. Of course. Sometimes what happens is some people, what they do is they will start crying or, oh, my God, making it about them. Now, it's normal to cry in front of that person who's hurting or in pain. Really normal. But sometimes, if you start crying and you can't hold back, say, I love you so much, and I'm feeling your pain.
Yes.
So you don't have to make it about you. You know, I've seen so many family members in my practice who make it about them. Oh, my God, this is horrible. I can't take this. Excuse me.
Right.
They're the ones experiencing it.
Right.
So, you know, I always tell them, be outward focused when it comes to helping someone who's going through a rough time, whatever it may be, physically and emotionally. I'm so sorry. Listen to them. Let them talk. I know sometimes when you're dealing with someone who's really ill and they talk over and over and over, just listen. It's your time to be patient. That's all they want.
Right.
That's all they want. Sometimes people don't want to hear, hey, think positive. Life's great.
So
thank
true.
Thank God you've woken up every day. People don't want to hear that. They're
so
suffering
true.
So enmeshed in their stuff that it's very hard.
So true.
Those are just some of the ideas that I share.
That's really, really wise, Doc. And if you don't mind me just adding on to that, which triggered a thought, was, you know, along with them understanding that, you know, imagine how they're feeling, there's also this sense of, you know, letting that person know that did receive that detrimental information about a close one, you know, letting that person know it would actually be a lot more healing for them if you maintained your empowerment. I know that this is difficult for you. I know that this is hard for you to watch your loved one go through this, but visualize them in health. Visualize them being healthy, happy, joyous. Although it might be difficult, do whatever you can to visualize them being in a happy, healthy, wealthy, wise state of mind. And the more that you choose to do that, and the more that you communicate with them as if they are already healthy, it will assist them in moving closer to health.
Right. Beautifully said. That's so true, honey. And encourage them, too. People always want encouragement. You are so strong. You're amazing. I don't know if I could deal with what you're going through. You are the strongest person I know. You know, encouragement, positivity. You know, be like a cheerleader to them.
Exactly.
And real. Keep it real. Keep it real. You know, not phony. Like, hey, you're going to be. No. Again, I love you, and I so admire you for being so strong through this.
Right.
And
right.
You know, I know that you're getting close to your time frame, but I just wanted to call in and sort of respond to your text and let you know
that's
what
I do
to help people. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Doc.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
pleasure.
Much. I really appreciate it. You are the best, Doc. Make sure to check her out, Dr. Michelle, every Friday at 11 on LA Talk Radio. We got Channel 1. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for letting me be on your show.
All right. Oh, anytime. Thank you for the call, Doc. All the unconditional love and appreciation from our hearts to yours.
Thanks so much. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye. All right. To all of our amazing listeners out there and supporters of LA Talk Radio and, of course, Dave's Good Vibration Station, we send you all the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. We appreciate you. We cherish you. We honor you. We thank you. And just know that we're always here for you. Anytime you want to, anytime you feel inclined to reach out, go ahead, email davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. You can also check us out, follow us on Twitter @goodvibestation. And you can, of course, check out our sister company, Universal Consciousness 1111. You can check us out on Instagram, universalconsciousness.1111. I just love you guys. All right. Thank you so much for an amazing show. Thank you for listening and raising your vibration and being an inspiration to yourself and everyone else that surrounds you. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Love you guys so much, and we will see you next Sunday. Peace. Woo!
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.